good afternoon. Welcome back to another episode of Forecasting Success. I'm your host, Ryan Brannon, with you again, as usual. And want to say thank you to A-Rock for being our title sponsor. And I'm very excited about today's guest. I've known him for a long time. I consider him to be a good friend, Bob Wilson, who is all over the map when it comes to workers' comp, based out of Florida.
Are you saying I'm inconsistent? Is that it, basically?
Yeah, I'm saying you've been around a lot, and you're constantly being requested for doing speaking engagements and hearing about everything that's happening and all the trends. So thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Brian. I appreciate it. Although I didn't know you called this Forecasting Success, which means I really have no idea why I'm here.
I don't really know why you're here either.
No, Bob. That's true. Yeah, no. I was in the neighborhood.
Yeah, there you go. No. We do appreciate you taking time to come in and speak with us.
And happy to do it.
And it's always a pleasure. So for those of you that are unfamiliar with Bob Wilson, he has done pretty much everything under the sun when it comes to workers' comp. And let's see, when we first met, you were running
WorkersCompensation.com.
Right. Yeah. And but now you're doing something totally different.
Right. Now I'm president of WorkCompCollege.com.
Okay. What does that mean?
I didn't know you were going to start off with a hard question.
Oh, well, what is it that you do for a living, Bob?
I don't know. As little as possible. Now, Work Comp College is a new training concept and school that we've opened in partnership with Don Abrams and Mark Pugh, are my two partners. It started with a new certification, Workers Recovery Professional Certification. We wanted a training program. While there are good training programs available in workers' comp, there wasn't really one that focused or included the biopsychosocial elements to train people to understand how to communicate properly, to better understand what's going on in the mind of the injured worker. There's so many things that can, those are the things, if you have a claim that goes, you know, if you're doing everything you're supposed to and manage a claim properly and it still goes off the rails, it's probably because you were busy treating the elbow or what was ever hurt, and we don't pay attention to what's going on here. And we're trying to get the industry to focus more on that to get better outcomes, basically. We started with that. We've come up with several certifications. We have new custom programs. It's really taken off in areas we didn't originally anticipate, even to the point now where we are hosting, for one particular company, we're hosting a complete virtual training center that includes select elements of our coursework and programs, plus hosting their coursework for their employees for onboarding and continuing training. So that we're trying to bring a little more, or democratize some of the training content for the workers' comp industry.
You've only been doing this a short amount of time.
Yeah, just coming up on, really 2 years since we formed the company, about a year and a half that we've actually been online. And in that time, we've got 140 some courses. We've done 190 lecture videos. It's all virtual, it's all self-paced. But we have 500 students in the school. We have 150 people who have earned our certification. So, 170 people who have earned our certifications so far. So we're pretty happy with the response we're getting.
Yeah. And is that translating into the successes that you were hoping to have?
Well, it is when you start something new, and especially when you come up with a new certification that's brand new. Part of the success is you've got to get a certain amount of people through the school system, and you've got to get that feedback, which has been very, very positive. But yeah, it is translating to the success. We're a startup operation. I mean, I haven't bought a boat yet. You know, I haven't gone out and bought a new boat. But we're really happy with where it's going. You know, even here in Texas, the Office of Injured Employee Counsel, the OIEC, has 72 people in our program. 56 of them have completed the Workers Recovery Professional program. They're using our program to meet state mandated training requirements for their agency. And we've got people from SORM, State Office of Risk Management, here in Texas. So we've had pretty decent success, particularly here in Texas, which is why I keep coming back to Texas, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that and people invite me.
Yeah, there you go.
God knows why.
Well, truth be told, I noticed that you were speaking at the Insurance Council of Texas event tomorrow.
I am.
And so I, you know, asked you when you were coming in and if we could get this done.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's a testament to your knowledge and your abilities to be willing to fly places and speak to them about the successes you've had.
So. Well, it happened. And it's interesting because the topic tomorrow at the program, I'm on a panel with Troy Haley, who's the administrator of Tennessee's Workers' Comp Division. Bureau of Workers' Comp. And
he took over after Abby retired, right?
He took over, okay. Yeah, after Abby retired. And my buddy Sam McMurray, who's active in the self-insured community mm-hmm. here in Texas, he's on the panel. And we're really talking, Albert Betts is going to be moderating. And the topic is, why does Texas workers' comp work?
Yeah.
And so apparently they thought I had something to say about it. So,
well, I'm glad that you brought that up because that is a topic that's very interesting to a lot of our viewers
right.
of this podcast,
right.
Considering most of them are, well, pretty much everybody's in the workers' comp space in some capacity, and
right.
a lot of them are in the Texas non-subscription space.
Right.
I know Abby was not a big fan of non-subscription when she was in Tennessee. I'd be curious to see what Mr. Haley has to say.
Yeah.
And you've had some different opinions.
Opinions?
On...
opinions on the subject?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I have been, I was known to be a pretty vocal opponent of the, what was called the Oklahoma opt-out experiment. I think that there were some fundamental issues and concerns there. I'm not really a critic of Texas non-subscription. I actually think, personally, Texas non-subscription is, I'll call it intellectually honest, because the Texas doesn't afford exclusive remedy to people who are not, you're exposed.
Yeah.
And that exposure gives a different emphasis to, if you're going to be a non-subscriber, to protecting your interests and your assets. So you're probably, in my mind, would do a little better job than if perhaps you're given exclusive remedy, which they had in Oklahoma,
yeah,
and not have to do that. So, I've had some opinions on it, and I'm sure some of your people watching may.
Yeah.
They wonder what I'm doing here.
But, yeah, you know. Yeah, they might. In full disclosure, so for everybody watching, I did let him know that AROC was our title sponsor
yeah.
prior to bringing him over here, and he still came.
Well,
so I credit Bob for that.
And I've mentioned to you that my attitude has shifted a little yeah. bit. And I'll point to Texas, one of the things I'll probably mention tomorrow. If you go back 20 or 30 years, the subscription rate in Texas was about 50, 51, 52%. I believe now it's over 70% after reforms. That tells me the workers' comp system in Texas got better, and employers were convinced to join that system. You know, they improved it in the 90s. Was it 90s or 2000s when it's split?
It was the 90s.
90s. It was in the 90s. But the presence or the ability to not subscribe, in other words, just to not get workers' comp, is a competitive value to the workers' comp system. So the workers' comp system has to be good enough to make people want to come in. Employers have to understand the protections it affords, and it has to actually afford those protections.
Yeah.
Not every state does that.
Right.
So,
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny you bring that up. One of the stories I like to tell is I have a slightly different perspective, I think, than most of the other regulators, mm-hmm. mainly because my first entry into the Texas system
right.
Was when I was the insurance advisor for Governor Perry.
Right.
And they called me and they said, Governor's getting ready to go to California to try to recruit businesses back to Texas.
Right.
And one of the things he wants to talk about is the different options that they have for covering their workers.
Okay.
And so I learned that the Texas system, if done right,
right.
Was used to recruit businesses to Texas.
Right.
And so then when I went over to be the commissioner,
yeah.
And I was talking to the other regulators about, you know, what a pain it is to not have companies in their system, or how can they
right.
how can we do that in Texas? I thought, well, there's a reason why the companies are leaving your states to come into our state.
Well, yeah, it would seem like being able to encourage business to come from California should be a no-brainer. I mean, you know, it's like my brother-in-law lives in San Jose and likes it, but it's like, why? I mean, no idea why you'd want to stay there and be in business there. But yeah, I think, it's probably one of the attractions that they have here. I mean, every state, it's really not advertised. Every state has some level yeah. of non-subscription.
Every, that's right.
There are some exemptions in Florida. If you have four or fewer employees, you don't have to have workers' comp.
Yeah.
And that's a substantial amount of employers in terms of small business people. But Texas is really the only one, and Georgia has some provisions that are unique, but it's really not publicized or widely utilized. Texas is really the only one in the nation, though, that really has that flat out, you know, non-subscription option.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see.
Yeah. And I think, you know, part of what makes the Texas model so successful in Texas is, you're right, the competition, right? So if companies are leaving the system has to adapt.
Right.
You don't necessarily have that in other states. But so, yeah, so, but the topic is interesting, right? Because every state is always trying to find ways to make their systems better.
Right.
And some have unique challenges, right? So Georgia tried to adopt some of the tort reform measures that were put in place in Texas.
Right.
And that did not go over well with their trial bar. And ultimately, they weren't able to do that. So each state is different.
Oh, yeah, they are. And it's really interesting to watch because some states, it really depends on who gets the ear of the legislatures, you know. And I know this will be a shock to hear. I've got a few friends that are regulators, and I've come to appreciate very strongly the role of the regulator in the industry, because the regulators in this country who are appointed by their governors in most situations can only deal with what the legislature gives them.
Right.
They have to take whatever sausage comes out of the Capitol and make it work. And in some states, we see states that attempt reforms, and they, you know, I wrote a blog years ago calling fixing the fixes of the previous fixers' fixes. I mean, you're constantly trying to modify, and there's always the world of unintended consequences, you know, the things you don't think about. And I think that, you know, Texas has seemed to have struck a pretty decent balance. I mean, there's some issues in Texas. Your designated doctor program is a lot of fun right now, I understand. So,
yeah, that sounds like a Jeff problem.
Not a Ryan problem. Yeah, in other words, we don't care. Move on. Okay. So.
No, I don't. But you make a good point.
I like that, a Jeff problem.
It's a Jeff problem. Sorry, Commissioner Nelson. It's nothing personal, but it's something that
he's a very nice guy.
He really is. And he's doing a great job. And he did a great job. He's been doing a great job ever since he's been over there in whatever capacity he's in. I really like watching the stuff come out of the agency that he's doing.
Right. That's enough. You've sucked up enough. Okay. I think that was good.
Right. Yeah. I was about to go on to Dirk. I was about to make the whole. Anyway, you're all doing a great job.
Yeah, wonderful job.
Also, please let me come back. No, just kidding. never.
You're done. Yeah,
I'm done. Yeah. I enjoyed my time there. I think we had a lot of good wins. But you know, when it's time to go, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And I think Cassie did a good job too. Like, who else can I say?
I don't know. She did. I think you pretty much covered it.
Okay. Yeah. Have I?
You haven't gone back as far as Albert and Rod Bordelon.
Albert knows he's never going to be as good as me as I was.
That's because you keep telling him that.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, when I was talking to him about your panel tomorrow, which I'm going to be attending, by the way.
Oh, are you?
I will be there.
Oh, okay. I'll have to revise some of my comments then if I know you're going to be in the room.
Yeah, that's why I told you ahead of time, so you have time to
appreciate that.
I'll go ahead and say nice things instead. But yeah, no, it was funny. I was talking with Albert about it, and I was trying to see, you know, kind of what direction he wanted to take the panel before I decided if I was going to attend or not.
See if it's make sure it's worth your time.
Exactly.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah, I appreciate that. Just the fact that we were there, that wasn't enough. So,
no offense, Bob, but I've heard you talk.
That's
true.
Everyone's heard me talk. Yeah. Can't get me to stop.
Nah. That's funny. But that conversation devolved at the end to who was the better commissioner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I asked him, I said, is there a shrine to you at the agency? And he said, no. And I sent him a picture. So one of the current people at the agency used AI to create a shrine with my picture on it. And he says to me, you know, we really thought you did a great job. I'm just not sure why we have to stop here and kneel every morning on our way to work. It was pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
So I've got a little bit of mileage out of that.
Yeah. And there were pictures they could create with you with AI. So,
that's absolutely very true. Yeah. Very true. But actually, let's talk about AI for a minute.
Okay.
Before we started rolling, you were talking about using AI to introduce your panelists at one of those events.
It's SACWA every year, the Southern Association of Workers' Compensation, Southern Association of Workers' Compensation Administrators. They have two major conferences a year, an all-committee conference and an annual conference, and I close every session with a session called Things That Make Bob Go, Hmm. I had some other suggestions for that title, but apparently they were profane. So
I've been on that panel before.
You have been. Yeah. You have been. We've had a good time on that. And this last year, we were there, and one of the sessions prior was talking about AI, and I've been using AI at work. We're doing some legislative and regulatory summaries for our state-specific modules at WorkComp College. I just thought I'd go on and just use AI to develop the bios for my guests the next day, the next morning. And it was fascinating. It's scary, but it was fascinating that I was able to enter their names. And for most of them, it had a pretty good bio of what they'd done in their lives. It just popped up and it wrote it out in a pretty useful format. And then, of course, the one I told you about with Greg Gilbert, where it discovered
Before you get there, Greg Gilbert filmed one of these with me, but we were at the soccer event in San Antonio, the production quality was not nearly up to the typical Real News PR production quality, mainly because I was in charge of it. So it was totally on me. So we're going to redo it. He's actually coming into the studio next week.
Is he?
So this would be a good preview for the Greg Gilbert podcast episode.
Yeah, you can ask him about his career because the bio it came up with for him talked about he first learned his customer service traits working as a busboy at the Sizzler Steakhouse. And it went on about that and his radio DJ experience. And then it talked about, of course, his actual career.
Okay, good.
But it was hysterical. It was like, where did this come up with it? But it found it. I asked him, I said, were you a busboy at the Sizzler Steakhouse? He said, yeah, I was. So you can ask. You should open with that.
Don't say
anything until you start recording. Say, so I really want to know about your experience as a busboy at the Sizzler Steakhouse.
I'm going to do it.
He'll know where it came from.
I'm sure he'll know exactly where it came from.
Yeah.
So I'll say, okay, so then from there, you graduated to being a college DJ. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, really.
No, we don't want to hear about your being president of Kids Chance of Texas.
Yeah.
We want to hear more about your radio DJ experience.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, yeah, he is the president of Kids Chance of Texas. Yep. I noticed you have a Kids Chance pin on.
I do. I'm on the board of directors for Kids Chance of America. I'm the secretary on the board this year. In fact, I'm leaving Austin to fly to Chicago Thursday because the Kids Chance National Conference is up there for the next 3 days. Kids Chance is a great organization.
Yeah, I was going to say, for those that, if you don't know what Kids Chance is, this is a great time to let them know, because this is an amazing organization.
Kids Chance is an organization that provides scholarships and educational opportunities for kids who have a parent who has been seriously injured or killed on the job. And it started in Valdosta, Georgia, one attorney who just got tired of what he called the cycle of poverty, seeing these kids that were, some of them 15, quitting school and going into the woods to work in the lumber jobs that their fathers just got hurt on. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to create better educational opportunities for them. And it eventually grew to several states, just really at a grassroots level. They formed Kids Chance of America probably about 13 years ago, to help establish best practices with the goal of getting them in all 50 states. And last year we got them in the 50th state. Wyoming was the 50th. But that organization since 1988 has given over 9,000 scholarships, $37 million worth of scholarships.
Wow.
And largely supported by the workers' comp industry and volunteers in the workers' comp industry. I was a founding member and past president of Kids Chance of Florida. And I just rolled off that board. We have a planned retirement plan. I'm now emeritus, which means I can still sit around and give my opinion. I just can't do anything about it. But
did
it's
they
a great
build that position just for you. So
oh no, there were several of us that were emeritus now. So you know, because we were founding board members, but we've actually planned to roll people over on the board just because we want to keep the boards fresh. In fact, the young lady who took my spot, who I recommended, is actually one of our early scholarship recipients.
Oh, really?
Who's now out of college, and she's got her master's, and she's got a career in fish and wildlife in Florida, actually. But we put her on the board. It was great. So it's an awesome organization, Kids Chance.
Yeah, it really is. And that's a really neat story too for her. That's, you know, that she could go through the program and then come back and be on the board.
Well, it is. And there's actually in Nebraska, the president this year, Kids Chance in Nebraska, is a former scholarship recipient.
Wow.
So it's good. A lot of these kids, they want to give back. I will tell you, I've been able to speak at a number of Kids Chance functions, galas, and scholarship award ceremonies around the country. And I've met a lot of these kids, and you know, you hear a lot about what's going on. Can I show my conservative roots here? You know, when I talk politics,
You're in Texas, Bob.
Thank you. You hear about a lot of the stuff going on in colleges these days. You know, the crying zones, or the free speech zones, or just all the microaggressions and all things. That is not these kids. That's not. These kids have already learned through unfortunate circumstances that life is not fair, And despite some of the things, you know, they've already dealt with more adversity than most of, by the time they're 18 years old, than most of us will see in our lifetime. Yeah. And that has made them strong. I mean, they are really tough kids. They're dedicated. A lot of them are choosing professions that are somewhat related to what happened to their parents, either in the medical field, or the legal field. And they're committed to having a better life for themselves and their family. They really are a terrific opportunity to invest in. If you want to make an investment in kids, do it in Kids Chance.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. And most of, if not all of our viewers are in Texas. So
right.
We do have a Kids Chance of Texas
you do.
Chapter.
You do. I would like to say better things about them, but we have a friendly competition between Texas and Florida. Unfortunately, in the number of scholarships issued, they're actually kicking our butts.
Really?
But, oh, yeah. They're doing. In Texas, they've been very well supported and funded, and they've been really good at. It's a challenge finding the kids. Florida's got the money, and we gave 15 scholarships, I think, last summer. Probably could have given 30.
Yeah.
If we can get a hold of the kids or let them know that it's out there. Yeah. And one of the neat things that Kids Chance of America has done is they have a planning for the future program, which is basically if you're a claims adjuster or you're an employer or you have an employee who's seriously hurt, they're going to be out for a long time. Even if they can come back to work, if they've been out of work for a couple of years, that's a huge financial drain mm-hmm. for someone who's trying to plan for college for their kids.
Yeah.
You can actually register that family or those kids with Kids Chance of America. I don't care if they're 2 weeks or, you know, they can be 16 weeks or 16 years old. And when they turn 16, they will be referred to the state they lived in where the accident occurred for consideration.
Okay.
So that the state can contact them and state organization can contact them and get them to process through a scholarship application.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah, it's really very cool. We've got 1,100 kids registered across the country
so far. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I remember when we first got the Kids Chance of Texas chapter, we had a very hard time finding potential scholarship recipients.
It's a challenge.
I'm glad to hear that they're doing
Texas well is doing really well. I think Texas has got a great board. You've got Greg, you've got Jane Stone, an attorney here in Austin. Mm-hmm. You've got Tom Glasson, who is an industry legend out of Dallas. I don't want to short anybody. I shouldn't name names because now I'm going to miss a bunch of people.
You have to say you like everybody.
I like everyone. I do. You know, so unless they don't like me, in which case, you know.
So earlier we were talking about AI in context of Greg Gilbert and using AI to do the introductions,
right?
But I kind of want to go back to that in that that seems to be a topic that a lot of people are discussing as far as how things might change in the future in our industry with AI or other technological changes. And I know that that's something you've been looking at for a long time. Where do we go?
Well, it's going to be interesting. There are a lot of people scared of AI. And I think one of the phrases I like the best is AI is not going to take your job, but someone who knows how to use AI might.
Yeah.
And there are some pitfalls with AI. I'm most concerned not with artificial intelligence, but the real intelligence around it and how we decide to use it. Uh-huh. You know, I know out there somewhere there's got to be people in a C-suite somewhere drooling at the fact that they can get rid of all their adjusters and just take everything automated, and they will be totally screwed because we're a human business. We deal with human beings, and we can't lose that connection. However, AI could be very useful in identifying red flags in a case. It could be very useful in help directing, you know, predicting the direction of particular claims based on historical data. I think as a tool, it will make people much more efficient, but we have to use it properly. And there are some, there's a guy who spoke at NCCI's annual issue symposium a few years ago. I think he was from Stanford, and he was talking about technology in general and AI, but he talked about, and for AI, he talked about artificial stupidity, which was the use of that technology, the use of the artificial intelligence systems without proper guardrails to help reach the final decision. In other words, AI should never make the decision.
Right.
It should only advise you as to what some of the facts may be.
I like that.
And sometimes in its early stages, and it's changed a lot even in the last year and some that I've been using it, sometimes it can be very frustrating. I'll deal with OpenAI's ChatGPT, or I deal with Claude AI. There's Perplexity. There's a number of them. But let's just talk about ChatGPT, which a lot of people are using.
Uh-huh.
I find on any given day, ChatGPT is an incredible, unbelievable creation, or a petulant child who doesn't want to do what it's told or doesn't want to cooperate. And some days it's an employee 2 weeks from retirement who just doesn't give a crap anymore because it starts making stuff up and just
it does.
I'll be working with it for 2 hours on certain things that's doing great, and then they'll ask for something and it'll say, I'm sorry, I'm not able to do that. No, you've been doing it for 2 hours. Of course you can do it. It'll just start saying, nope, can't do it anymore. It's just, it's funny. Some days it's just got a bad attitude.
I've had that experience. I actually pay money to use the ChatGPT 4.0.
I do too.
And I don't know why I pay for the service. I mean, every time I try to get it to do something, it'll get like, I'll say, no, I want the information organized this way.
Yeah.
So like, you know, topic, you know, subtopic, notes, and then I'll be like, okay, I'll get it. And then they'll do it right back. And I say, now do that for all of it. It'll be like, no. Oh,
yeah, I know. I've done that. Or I've even had it say, you know, I'll give it a web link because the 4.0 has internet access, where 3.5 doesn't. Yeah. And I'll give it a web link and it'll analyze something. And then the very next link, I'm sorry, I'm not capable of accessing items on the internet. It's like,
just did it.
Do I need to put more quarters in? I mean, what do I need to do here? It drives you crazy. But it is.
I spent an entire afternoon one time trying to get it to format the way I wanted it formatted.
Yeah.
And at the end of the afternoon, I looked at myself and I said, I would have been done with this 2 hours ago if I had just done it.
Oh, I know. And some days it's like that. And there's actually the graphic version of ChatGPT, DALL-E. It's called DALL-E. Okay. DALL-E. Probably called DALL-E because, you know, Salvador DALL-E, I assume they're playing a name off of. I don't know what it would stand for. But it'll create graphics. And if you want to do a logo, it can create a logo.
Okay.
And it's actually pretty cool. Can't spell for crap. Sorry. I just can't. It's like you tell it, I want, you know, we have we do online registration for a lot of state conferences through IWCF and all the SOCA events. We do all that online through a site called workcompevent.com.
Okay.
That's workcompevent.com. Okay.
You're allowed to plug your own stuff.
Shameless
here for sure.
Plug here,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, thank you, AROC, again, for being our title sponsor.
Yeah, thank you, AROC, for being a title sponsor. Can I say that?
You did.
Probably get edited out.
No, so. That's actually gonna be the only part of this whole thing.
That's the only thing. Yeah, selectively edited.
It's gonna be 30 seconds of you just saying thank you, AROC, over and over again.
In the max headroom type voice. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Can we do that?
I don't know. You have to talk
AI
to Ziggy.
Program.
We better talk to Ziggy.
We could definitely do that.
Anyway, what
Ziggy didn't know he was going to be a part of this.
No, he didn't. He should just bring a chair in.
Yeah.
What the hell was I talking about? No, it's we were looking at, I was looking at creating a new logo for
Thank
it.
Thank you, Ziggy, and Real News PR for all of that you do to help this show be successful. There he is!
Ziggy! Oh, gosh, this is like a micro podcast now where you see the producer and everything.
Oh, so, great. Yeah. I didn't know we could do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool.
We should have just had the camera on him the whole time.
I think we should. Can we go back to Ziggy? Hey! Nice setup back there. I like the drywall touch. That's good.
That's nice.
But yeah, I was trying to say, you know, we wanted a logo for workcompevent.com. And actually the one we now use was generated by AI. But every time it tried to spell it, it couldn't spell workcompevent to save its life. And it's not only that, the meta imagine is another image generator. None of them can spell. No. It's like, why can't you? I mean, it's like, it's funny to watch. They just really do. Try it sometime. You'll be amazed at how stupid those things actually are.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, AI is going to be, I realize we veered way off your original question, but AI is.
But not really. I mean, you're talking about how AI is used for your automated services at workcompevent.com.
Workcompevent.com. For our logo at workcompevent.com. We have a state.
And I was talking about how AI could be used in the workers' comp world.
Well, an example, we're using it, Work Comp College. We're generating state-specific training modules to go along with our other certification programs so someone can subscribe to learn about the rules and forms processing and all the things, the nuances of each individual state. But one of the things we're doing to add additional value is we're actually running state statutes and regulations through AI and using summaries, getting summary descriptions of them, with keyword searchability and then links back to the original source online. And that's just really to add more resources and value for people who want to know more about the system.
Yeah.
You know, but AI, we can produce, you know, we can analyze an entire state's if AI is in the mood, we can do an entire state's statutes in an afternoon.
Right.
And we could never do that. My old company, I had a team of five people that just did nothing but analyze the state statutes and rules and go through
that. Oh, wow.
So it's going to be an amazing efficiency tool, but it's got a ways to go.
Yeah, it does.
So
yeah, I agree. Yeah. So speaking of ways to go, just given the fact that you've been doing comparative analytics on different states,
yep,
and how they operate and the changes that have happened over the years,
yep,
where do you see this going in the future? I think at one point I was on one of your panels. Either it was one of your panels or you were also on the panel with me, but I had mentioned something about how people were concerned that robots were going to take over their jobs.
Yeah.
And you said, somebody's going to have to fix the robots when they break.
Well, that's true.
And I thought that was interesting, because it's not that the jobs are necessarily gone, it's that they change.
Well, and if you look at previous technological revolutions, if you would, or evolution, new technology has eliminated certain jobs, but it's also created more jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when the automobile came around, yes, the guy who tended the horse and buggy and the guy who hooved the horses, I don't even remember what would they call them?
I don't know.
You're a Texas
blacksmith?
Guy.
Well,
farrier.
Blacksmith.
Yeah. What?
A farrier.
A farrier. So the farrier went away. You know, there
sure.
were some. But you had mechanics, you had engineers, you had gas station attendants, you had all these other jobs. Think about all the jobs today that surround the automobile. And you'll see that with the computers. Computers technically took jobs. I mean, who has an administrative assistant these days? Very few people do. But it created other jobs. So it is a matter of keeping your skill sets up. I encourage everyone to get a little more familiar with AI, to go to ChatGPT. You can use 3.5 free. You don't have to pay for it.
Right.
And just play with it and see what some of the things it can do and some of the things it can't do. You'll find the limitations of it. But I think it is going to be fascinating, some of the things it can do. I think it's got some really bad negative potential in terms of deep fakes. We're already seeing things with deep fakes and,
yep,
and other things.
Good point.
Which will make the legal aspect of everything we do a little more difficult. Is this true or is it not? Is it real or is it a deep fake? You know, and so I think we've got to be able to try and keep up with it. That'll be a challenge.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent point. Let's see.
But we've run out of things to talk about. We're done.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Well, I think I've talked about, I've talked about WorkComp College. I've talked about WorkComp event. And got to mention that. Wasn't planning to.
Yeah.
No, I think we've been good. I think it's going to be interesting. Let me ask you, Texas has got a system that's pretty stable and working from a workers' comp perspective.
Yeah.
You do have some players in Texas who are trying to have, and maybe you can't talk about it because in your position, this will all get edited out, who are trying to get the fact that they want to be able to settle claims. They want to be able to settle medical.
Yeah.
Employers don't like open-ended liability.
Right.
Will that ever happen? It keeps getting shot down here. Maybe they aren't hiring the right consultants to help shepherd it through the legislature.
Well, they're definitely not, I can tell you that. And, you know, this came up a few years ago for the first time.
Yeah.
And essentially, I don't really know who they hired to file the bill. But, you know, essentially it was a lot of out-of-state people that were trying to get the bill brought to Texas.
Yeah.
And a long time ago, through the courts and everything, that became like a big no-no, right?
Right.
And so there was no lead up to it. There was no conversation with the different associations,
right,
and trade groups as to why this was good.
Right.
And as a result of that, they had to go shop the bill all over the Capitol and ended up getting somebody to file the bill on the deadline, the last day you could file the legislation.
So, yeah.
And then, you know, I don't even think it got a hearing.
It didn't have a champion in the House.
It wasn't a champion anywhere near the building.
Yeah.
It's not the right way to go about doing business in Texas.
Right.
And so it had a rough, shaky start, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's gone very far since. And that legislator that filed the bill is no longer here.
Yeah.
He's back home in Houston. He retired from the legislature. So they're going to have to find somebody to pick it up. And at this point, I don't know who that would be. Now that could all change in a minute. I mean, our legislature is turning over. Leadership change is very much a real possibility. And so depending on, you know, if there is leadership change and new chairman come in, and you could always, you know, shop ideas to new chairman. Who knows? I don't have a crystal ball on that, but it didn't get a warm reception initially.
It's interesting in Texas, because I live in Florida, and I was watching, and I see this, I say this as a red state guy, you know, I'll tell you, I lived during the pandemic in the free state of Florida. That's where I lived. Love my governor.
He did a great job.
He did a wonderful job. I've never been so happy to be in Florida in my life as I was through the pandemic. But I was worried, you know, I see a lot of California plates, a lot of New York plates, a lot of people moving to Florida. I've never seen growth like I've seen right now. And you're experiencing the same thing here. Same thing. And I thought it's going to take our state more purple, more purple. We were really on the edge. And the last election just shocked the hell out of me. Republicans even won Miami-Dade, which they haven't done for 50 years. Is your trend here in Texas going...
No,
it's you're not headed anywhere. You're a relatively conservative state.
I mean, we're sitting across from the Republican governor's house.
We are, but it is front that of house the Republican legislature. That house is in Austin. So.
It is for now. There's legislation that's been filed last two sessions to remove this area from the city of Austin.
Really, yeah. Really, wow.
Yeah, and it's starting to gain traction. They've actually had to use the DPS troops to assist the Austin police because there's just not enough of them. So the state versus Austin is a continual battle.
Interesting.
So it may not be in Austin. We'll see. I mean, I think that bill was initially filed two sessions ago as kind of just a shot across Austin's bow.
Yeah.
But everybody looked at the bill and went, well, maybe.
That might be not a bad idea.
I think they're going to call it the Capital District of the state of Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So keep an eye out for that one. Speaking of potential legislation that might change.
Interesting. Okay. I'll watch for that.
Yeah. There's definitely a conservative majority in the state. And I think to your point, a lot of people were concerned with the amount of Californians moving in. But if you look at the statewide elected officials, the Californians are actually voting more Republican than the native Texans are.
That's what we found in the people moving to Florida were moving there for very specific reasons to escape the taxes and some of the policies of their blue states. I've met a few of them in Florida, and they're generally, they're voting conservatively.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting.
It is interesting because you kind of worry about that happening, that taking you purple or something. I do anyway.
Yeah.
Now, I guess if I was a blue state guy, I wouldn't worry about it. But, what can I say?
On that note.
On that happy note.
You got any good stories from you can tell on here?
That I can tell here? probably not.
All right. Well,
let me see. When's the last time I saw you? Let me see. It was here in Austin. It was out at the Hill Country.
That's
right. Yeah. No, we can't talk about that, can we?
No, can't talk about that. It was kind of funny. I hadn't been to a soccer event really since I left the agency. Probably 3-4 years probably since I've been to one.
Right.
And I walked in and I was like, who are these people?
Don't even know who they are. There's been a little change.
There's been some change. I'm being a little bit tongue in cheek, but I did not realize Abby had retired, for example, until she wasn't there. No. And
Carl's retired. And we've had a few retirements now. People are leaving. I don't know. It's funny. I've got a lot of friends that have been retiring, and I don't understand why until I look in the mirror. It's like, I'm not 30 anymore. I keep forgetting.
Thought you were saying that everybody's retiring from the field because you're everywhere.
No, that isn't what I'm saying at all.
I can't get away from Bob.
You're saying that maybe. It's easier just to quit and go away. never leaves.
I obviously can't say that because I asked you to come on here today.
That's true, but I haven't left yet, so you haven't figured out how to get rid of me.
On that note.
Yeah, that happened. Thank you.
No, but actually, we probably should wrap it up. But I do want to say thank you very much for coming. It was always a pleasure.
I appreciate it, sir. Yep. Enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it as well. Sure. And thank you for joining us. I always love getting a chance to catch up with Bob Wilson. He knows so much about the industry. He's doing great things. for the industry, and particularly with Kids Chance of America, and looking forward to Greg next time we can talk about Kids Chance of Texas and his college D-Day.
Sizzler Steakhouse experience.
I'll tell you. Very excited. I don't know if we can top this, but it'll be pretty exciting. So with that, thank you very much, and we'll see you on the next episode.